In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing on the third paragraph, basically, of volume 23, October 23rd, 1927. And Louisa says, after this, Jesus explained to her about this happiness of the new knowledges that he is bringing to humanity through the Book of Heaven. And it's really not new. It's the oldest thing that God breathed into Adam, the likeness of God. So here is a new beginning. So after this, she said, I was continuing praying my round in the divine will. So this praying in the divine will is essential. Jesus talks about it to Louisa, you know, all through 36 volumes, but from volume 16 to volume 36, he says, this is the prayer life that I want you to enter into. So we've learned the prayer life of the saints for the last 2,000 years, and now Jesus wants us to learn how he and his mother prayed for those 30 silent years, how Adam prayed before the fall. So here, Louisa, she says she's continuing her praying her rounds. And this praying of the rounds is our life. It becomes our life. You really begin to use your senses, your human senses, to recognize God in creation through your eyes, through your nose, through your mouth, through your ears. Your senses become aware. You become aware of the I love you of God in all of creation. So she says, and I was bringing myself into Eden. So here again, we see that this bilocation that God gives us is, you see, there's no time or space in the divine will. And in your prayer life, you can go to the Garden of Eden. Jesus will show you how to do this as you read, as you study, as you train this, as see, and it's people say to me, well, how do you do this? Well, you got to read. The way Jesus speaks to me in the reading is different than he speaks to you. He's going to teach you how to become his divine masterpiece. And there's no way of, I shouldn't say there's no way. There's a unique way for each person to respond. We have different fingerprints, different irises, different heights, sizes, colors, shapes, because God loves our uniqueness. And it's the same thing with prayer. As we enter into this prayer life, you're going to see things that I can't. I mean, I've mentioned before how my mother loved the fall, the colors. She said the colors of the fall were so beautiful. They're so vibrant. And I could never see that. Until one day I prayed and I said to the Lord after my mom died, I prayed, I'd like to see what she saw. I'd like to see this vibrance that I can't pick up, you know, and that day was the sky was blue and the colors were vibrant. And I went, wow, I've never seen this before. And when you start praying, Jesus says you can receive it 130%, 60% or 100%. So as Louisa was continue to pray her round, and she did this all her life, she brought herself back into Eden, and so as to be present when the divine majesty, God himself, formed the beautiful statue of Adam. So here she watches God form Adam. She's witnessing this. Now you can do this too. I mean, In your prayer life, especially when you're praying the Holy Rosary, go back with Our Lady and Our Lord to that mystery. Witness that mystery and use your mind's eye to see it. It's essential that we don't limit ourselves to the way the saints have taught us. So the saints have taught us beautiful ways of prayer, but each prayer is different. It's the prayers of St. Francis, the prayers of St. Gertrude, the prayers of St. Avila, Teresa of Avila. They're all different and they're the same, but they're unique. And this is what God wants to show each and every one of us, this uniqueness that he has created. So in each and every one of us. So she witnesses the form of Adam and she witnesses God giving life to Adam. She witnesses God breathing over Adam with God's omnipotent breath so that, she says, I might glorify my God in this act that it was so solemn, to love God because of this great gift of breathing this life into dust, adoring God, thanking God, praising God, loving God, glorifying God, for a love so excessive and overflowing towards Adam and his children. And so even though Adam fell, and Jesus said to Louisa, he fell from such a height that it was a miracle that Adam survived. So think about it. We are, when the word creatura in Italian and in the Puglian dialect, creatura is the baby that's fallen and bleeding, broken. And, you know, the parents would say, help the little creature, help to heal this little creature, to help this little creature. Well, this is what God is doing with us. He sees that. I mean, just think of the IQ, your IQ. We're not supposed to have an IQ that is limited, but we're supposed to have the mind of Christ. We're supposed to have the mind witnessing things from a divine perspective. And right now, we are so limited that when God presents to us now this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, this great gift of the divine will, the majority of humanity says, thank you, but no thank you. Though the one thing that comes to mind is the theologian I met in the Vatican, and we were talking about the divine will, and he goes, oh, how many volumes are there? And I said, 36 volumes. He goes, who has the time to read those? And I went, I do. I mean, if you enter into this gift, you'll be able to, God will expand your capacity to begin to understand what sanctification is all about. And he says, I haven't got time for that. And I was looking, this isn't a devotional life. This is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that was breathed into Louisa. Louisa watched this. She went back to the garden and watched this. Who of us wouldn't want to do that? Who of us wouldn't want to be back in Capernaum watching Jesus talking to his apostles? Who would not want to witness the miracle at Cana? Who would not want to be on Tabor? Who would not want to go back to see? This is the bilocation that our God wants us to participate in. And it's not the bilocation of the saints. The bilocation of the saints is much different than the bilocation in the divine will. This gift, he says, that I give to my children is outside of time and space. It's more than contemplation, if you can imagine that. To enter into this life that Jesus wants us to possess is just extraordinary. And this is, God wants us to witness what he, the Lord God Almighty, has done for us, how he created the universe for us, how he created Adam, how he breathed into Adam this image and likeness of God. He wants us to witness this, to become aware of our destiny, our place in creation. It's the highest order of creation. And what the evil one does is he says, save the whale, save the planet. And Jesus wants us to see that we are the ultimate of creation of God, humanity. And so the devil tries, he convinces humanity to kill themselves, to kill themselves in euthanasia in the hospitals, to kill themselves with suicide, to kill themselves through abortion, to kill themselves through drug overdose, to kill themselves from, you know, alcoholism, to kill themselves from gluttony, to kill the evil one wants to destroy humanity. And what Jesus says is, I want you to see how beautiful humanity is. I want you to experience how much God loves us. And this is what Louisa is doing. She's going back to witness the creation of Adam, glorifying God, loving God, adoring God, thanking God, praising God, loving God, because of all this love that God has breathed into humanity. So Jesus says this, my daughter, this act of forming and infusing life in Adam with our omnipotent breath was so tender, was so touching, and of such great joy for us, triune God, that the whole of our divine being, now Jesus is showing Louisa this, the whole of our divine being overflowed with so much love as to enrapture our divine qualities. So God, when God created, I mean, I worked with artists for a number of years, and I saw people delighting in what they created, you know, through etchings, through sculptures, through paintings. Look what I've done. Look at this. Isn't this great? And here Jesus says, when he created Adam, there was such joy in our divine being that it enraptured our divine qualities. God was so pleased by what he has created. And this is what the devil hates. He hates mankind, just wants to destroy mankind. Life, you know, Jesus said that. He says, my Father is the Father of the living, not of the dead. Life is so God, and death is so the devil. And this is why our job is to enter into this abundant life. So after 2,000 years of being redeemed, Jesus and Mary redeeming, God redeeming us, Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ. She was with him on Calvary, suffering with him on Calvary. That now, Jesus says, now after this 2,000 years of this resting in redemption, the kingdom of redemption, he says, now I want to give this kingdom of sanctification to mankind, to humanity. A new beginning is coming for all of humanity. This is why John Paul II prophesied at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, this new and divine way of holiness is coming to the earth, and God has saved this for us. This is the most glorious time to be alive. This final battle that we're in is a glorified battle. God is going to win. It's the triumph they make of the heart of Mary. It's the Eucharistic reign of Jesus. This is what's coming to the earth. And it's this new and divine way of holiness. I mean, just think, genius is supposed to be part of who we are. And again, we see this genius in the idiot savants. We see this, you know, they know. I mean, God is just giving us glimpses of how our brain has been, our brain works, and how we're supposed to be thinking with the mind of Christ. This new and divine way of holiness is close. And Jesus says, it is so beautiful, he says, that it enraptures the divine qualities, enraptured with divine strength to infuse these divine qualities back into humanity, image and likeness of God. The evil one wants us to be worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. That's his whole job, to make us like himself, miserable. But what Jesus is showing us is this new and divine way of holiness is peace, joy, and happiness. If we just this one paragraph, the act of forming and infusing life in Adam with our omnipotent breath was so tender, touching, and such great joy for God that the whole divine being overflowed so much with divine love to enrapture our divine qualities with an enrapturing divine strength so as to infuse these divine qualities in Adam, in us. And when we fell, we lost all of that. We lost the image and likeness of God. So when Jesus and Mary come to earth as the new Adam and the new Eve, they begin this universal life again, this Catholic life, breathing into us, if you want to say, through the power of the Holy Spirit, this universal life. So we, through Holy Baptism, we are in God's image. And now, Jesus wants to breathe in us. And he's telling us right here, this enrapturing love of God, of God's divine qualities, to infuse these divine qualities back into humanity. And if you read the six steps of the Virgin Mary in the kingdom, Our Lady explains this to Louisa. And step number six, that we are going to receive this divine qualities as much as a creature could possibly embrace. And it all depends on our disposition. If our disposition is, well, it's not going to happen to me, God says, no, it can't happen to you. There's no fiat. There's no yes to God. Yes, let it be done as you say. When we say, well, it's going to take a long time for that to happen to me, God's going to say, yes, it's going to take you a long time. See, we are the ones that limit what God wants. We are the ones that stop what God wants. Our free will. Our free will has to be like Our Lady's free will. Fiat. Let it be done as you say. I want what God wants. So what is he saying to us? He says, This divine qualities, which I, God, want to infuse in you and in me, he says, how much do you want this? Now, if we say, I want this, then he goes, okay, then prove to me that you want it. I want to see that I can trust you with this gift. So how do we prove to God that we want this gift? It's by reading every day, studying every day. Again, the minimal time I would say is a half hour a day, just reading. That's the least you can do. It's not even an hour. It's the least you can do. And what God wants is he wants to see how much do we want this? How much are we learning of how and why this gift is given back to humanity? So Jesus says, In breathing over Adam, this breath, this ruah of God, we, triune God, poured everything into Adam. And blowing into him this breath of God, we placed our supreme being in communication with him. This is the communion, the perennial communion of Adam with God. Walking and talking with God in the cool of the evening. We get a glimpse of this after Holy Communion, for that 15 minutes until the host is dissolved, where we're not in fellowship. We're in communion with God, communicating to God, God communicating to us, and us communicating to God, adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and blessing him. This is why being in front of our Eucharistic Lord, especially in front of the monstrance, is essential for us. It's essential to begin to have this relationship again, being restored. So Jesus said, I gave Holy Communion to my church so that they can prepare themselves for the perennial communion that Adam lost, to go back to where God breathe this breath of God, this ruah of God into Adam, to be in communication with Adam, to be in communication with us. Jesus says, and I want this communication in such a way as to render Adam inseparable from the triune God. And that's what he's saying to us. I'm giving you this communication, this communion with God, to render you inseparable from God. God isn't 1,000,000,000 miles away. He's right with you, closer to you than our breath. He wants us to recognize the God that dwells within. Remember, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you. May your kingdom come and reign on earth, this dust, as it is in heaven. Breathe into me. And then as you breathe, it's from your first breath that when you wake up and you do your prevenient act, Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating. I want to be with you in every way, shape, or form this day. And when I think, when I speak, when I act, I want to be one with you. I don't want to be separated from you in any way, shape, or form. God goes, good. Then he goes, prove it. See, we have to be tested to see whether or not God will give this. And that's why he says, to Louisa, when I find the souls who want the divine will more than anything, I will give it to the world. He hasn't done that yet. Why? Because he hasn't found anybody yet. He's found Louisa. He hasn't found us yet. Why? Because we're not focused on Louisa and the divine will. As Padre Pio said, the world and the church will focus on Louisa Picaretta in the third millennium. Again, a high-powered scope on a rifle. You've got 360 degrees around you, yet you're focused on one thing. Jesus says, I want you to be focused on the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, this great gift of the divine will that was given to Louisa. And if we do that, like I've mentioned before, people are always coming up to me and saying, oh, here's another great book. We got to read this book. And, you know, I just stack it with the other books that I have. I got a library downstairs. But my focus is Louisa. Jesus is saying, who is focusing on this gift more than anything else? And that's what he's waiting for. So Jesus says this. This act of ours, this divine act of God, breathing into Adam, bringing to life this statue, this dust, never ceased. Because if in the creation of the whole universe, it was our divine will that constituted itself life of everything, in Adam, we not only gave our fiat, but together with our breath, we gave Adam our very life. See, this is why, you know, when we're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the real final apparition of Our Lady to the world is Our Lady of the Divine Indwelling. It takes that baptism, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the divine indwelling takes full reign of the person as with Adam. That's what our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our triune God, gave to the Blessed Mother. Our Lady, the divine indwelling, the most beautiful image of what God wants to do with us. That's why the feast day is August 15th, where Our Lady assumed into heaven. The church says, we hope to follow. We hope to receive this. This is why the feast of the divine will is the feast of the Assumption. This is what all of humanity is going to receive, this divine indwelling. And so that's why we always have the retreat, the reunion of the little family of Louisa on August 15th. We've been doing this. I remember we were doing it for a number of years before 2000. But the year 2000, it was a weekend, and we couldn't get where we couldn't get the retreat house at that time. So we had it in another place. And the reunion, again, this little, see that, and then what happened in 2005, Archbishop Picheri says, I want you, he's talking to all of us in the divine will, to become a member of the little family of Louisa. He says, this is where we should be. It goes back to Noah. God said about Noah, he was the only family that was pure. It was a pure line back to Adam and Eve. There was no interbreeding. The DNA wasn't changed with the sons of God and producing the Nephilim. But this pure line to Jesus, it's pure line to Adam and Eve was Noah. And Jesus said to Louisa, we must thank Noah for saving the human generation. And now we have a pure line to Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And what we're going through is, who has this pure line to Jesus and Mary? It's Louisa, the newborn, the firstborn. So with the first purification, the flood, it was Noah because he had a pure line to Adam and Eve. The second purification, the blood of Jesus, it was given by Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, shedding their blood, if you wanted to say, with the Sacred Heart, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and bringing us back into the universal life that, that Adam lost. Now, the third purification is fire from heaven, symbolized by the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The love of Jesus and Mary is going to consume the world through Louisa, little Louisa. Who has the pure line to the new Adam and the new Eve? It's Louisa. She lived in this fullness. The saints lived by doing the will of God. That's volume 1 through volume 10, becoming a divine mirror of Jesus, the exterior life of Jesus. But the interior life of Jesus and Mary has been given to Louisa. And that's why this book of heaven is so essential, because we're learning each day. God is expanding our capacity to enter into this life, this true life of Jesus and Mary. That's why Jesus says, he says four things. There will be a great chastisement where the large majority of humanity will be wiped off the face of the earth. He says, number two, that my mother is marking all the little children in the holy divine will, and no harm can come to them. Number three, the little children in the holy divine will that are marked by my mother, Jesus says, the chastisement will have little or no effect. And number four, he says, they're survivors of this great chastisement, which a lot of the saints have said is greater than the chastisement of the flood, will be the little children in the holy divine will. The survivors will be the little children in the holy divine will. Why? Because right after that, the kingdom is here on earth as it is in heaven. Okay. You have to understand that the evil one who's been banished from heaven will be banished from earth. And when that day happens, there'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sin, no more death. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes upon the earth, he will remind you of everything that I've said. That to me is the book of heaven. The Holy Spirit, as Jesus said to Louisa, when you read the three missions of Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, the mission of Jesus, the mission of Mary, the mission of Louisa, what you're going to see is that he says to Louisa, this third fiat, this third mission that you are in charge of, Louisa, he says, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to you the secrets. The secrets of the Holy Spirit, the treasures of the Holy Spirit. This is the great outpouring that's coming. And it's the same thing. If you want to know what the illumination of conscience is, start reading the book of heaven. God is going to prepare you for what's coming. You'll be more aware, because Jesus says the greatest thing I can give to humanity is to reveal to them who they are and who I am, God says. So This new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II prophesied about, and even when you read Father Gobi's book about the new era, everything is planned, everything is ready, and it's close. It's very, very close. So Jesus says, he says, this act of ours never ceased, because if the creation of the whole universe was our divine will that constituted its life of everything in Adam, we not only gave our fiat, but together with our breath, we gave our very life to Adam. Image and likeness. We are the highest order of creation. And God wants us to begin to live this abundant life. So all the distractions, all the lies, all the murders of the evil one are going to be gone. What's going to be here is the new and divine way of holiness with no obstructions. There's not going to be anything that's going to obstruct us from what God has planned. He says, this breath of God, this ruah of God, this life of God, this omnipotent breath of God, he says, has not yet ceased so as to continue the generation of other creatures, to render them inseparable from us, triune God. So this second generation of the children of light, which Louisa is the mother of, is going to render all the children that are coming inseparable from God. Why? Because finally, there's a human born of original sin that received the fallen life of Adam, where Adam stopped, is now begun again. But more than what God gave to Adam, because it's the life of the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary. This new and divine way of holiness is close. There's nothing to be worried about, nothing to be angry about, nothing to be frustrated about, nothing to be, confused about. When we go through this trial, we're going to go through a trial. It's Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. Jesus said to St. Faustina, the final devotion that I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my Master. You're my King. You're my God. I'm not worried about anything. I trust in you. I have confidence that you, as the good and loving God that you are going to take care of everything. You and your mother, the new Adam and the new Eve, your Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart, this love of heaven is wants to reign in me. And I believe it. I trust it. I am confident in that. So then when we're faced with something, we say to the Lord, okay, I really want to see how you're going to do this one. You know, it's impossible for a human. God goes, good. Watch what I'm going to do. Nothing's impossible for God. See, God is going to prove to us how much he loves us when we put our trust in him. Just think of that woman who was bleeding for 18 years, hemorrhaging for 18 years. And she said, if I only touch the tassel of his hem, of his tillet, the shawl, the prayer shawl that he wore. He says, because in Leviticus, it says the Messiah will heal by the hem of his garment, by the strings that hang the four corners of the prayer shawl. And she grabbed it. And Jesus said, who did this? He knew who did it. But he had to hear from her, I believe that you are the Messiah. I believe this. Once she said that, Jesus said, it's your faith that has healed you. Do you see what God looks for? Our faith, our trust, our confidence in him alone. And this is why as we read the book of heaven, we fall more in love with Jesus. We fall more in love with Our Lady. We fall more in love with our dogma and doctrine. We fall more in love with sacred scripture. We fall more in love with the lives of the saints. We begin to comprehend from a divine perspective, not totality, not a total comprehension, but a glimpse of how much our God loves us. So Jesus says, when we triune God do a work, our love is so great that after it is done once, that attitude remains of doing it always, always, never ending. It's the waves of the shore. It's the morning and it's the evening. It's your heartbeat. As long as you're alive, it's beating constantly. It's your breath. Therefore, the ingratitude of humanity is great. The ingratitude of Adam is great because Adam denies, Adam despises, Adam offends this divine life of God within himself. What Jesus is trying to say to us is we've got to begin to understand this communication between God and us. And it begins with the Holy Eucharist. It begins with baptism, but it begins in a deeper way, a deeper level, through confirmation, through the sacraments and sacramentals, especially the Holy Eucharist, where Jesus calls us to be with him, to spend time with him in adoration. What does he say to the apostles? Can you not spend 1 hour with me? He says this to us now, because we're going to see the crucifixion. All the saints have said this, that the bride of Christ must go to Calvary, be crucified with her groom. This dying to self is necessary. What do we die to? No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more doubts. Our trust, our confidence is in God and God alone. Jesus, I trust in you. If you're doing the 3 o'clock hour every day, again, you're doing this to have a greater confidence in God. And why did God give us this time? Because we're going to really need it. And if we don't have Jesus, I trust in you, if that's not part of our breath, Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. You're my Lord, my Savior, my God, my Master. You're everything. If that's not there, you're not going to get through what's coming. That's why he says to St. Faustina, this is why it's necessary. That's why John Paul II went around the world for 27 years telling everybody, get ready for what? Get ready for the third millennium, the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. And then he gives to the church when the new third millennium began, divine mercy. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. It doesn't matter what's happening out there. The waves can be moving all around, but our focus is always on Jesus and Mary. And now through little Louisa, we're getting this deeper understanding of the love of God. Again, we have to stop having this ingratitude. We have to stop despising and offending the divine life that's been breathed into us at baptism. We have to bring that alive. How? By focusing on God within. How? By focusing on God, especially in the Eucharist. It's the pulsating of his heart into our hearts. It's the exchange of his heart with our heart. He wants to breathe in us as he breathed into Adam, the fullness of life that Adam possessed. But even more now than that is the life of Jesus and Mary. Volume 23, November 2nd, 1927. On the other hand, the sun created by my creative hands, even though it is one, forms the day because it possesses the source of light, placed in it by its creator. So Jesus is talking about the two things, the sun created in the heavens, forms the day, possesses the source of light. Why? It was placed by God in the sun. Therefore, it is not subject to decreasing in light. I love it when people say, oh, in 4 billion years from now, the sun is going to be gone. Okay. So what? You know, and it's 4 billion years. Who cares? It's here. Praise God, love God, glorify God, worship God. He says it's God has placed the source of light in the sun. Therefore, it is not subject to decreasing in light. The symbol, God says, Jesus says, of those who live in my divine will. See, there's this light in us that the evil one sees. It's the light of the divine will that God wants to bring to fullness. It's like turning on, you know, you have those dials for the making the light brighter, turning on this light, making it rain in us, radiate from us, because it's the light of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And this is what Louisa possesses. So this evil one is going to try to cause us to doubt and to be worried and to be fearful and to be anxious and complaining. And no, it's Jesus and Mary, the Son of God, the Mother of God, my King and my Queen. They're my life. Nothing's going to get rid of that. So Jesus says this. He says, this light is symbolized by my divine will in you. The kingdom of God is within you. And all their acts flow in an act of divine life, a creative divine strength that has the virtue of forming new sons. Every act that you do, one with Jesus, one with Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, is a light, is a life that will never stop. It's an I love you that goes on for all eternity. And 100 million years from now, that act that you do in the divine will, one with Jesus and Mary, because it's not a human act anymore. It's Jesus in you that's doing it. It's Mary that's you that's doing it. We get out of the way and say, reign in me. Jesus said to Louisa, I want you to become my skin. I want to clothe you in divinity. This life of Jesus and Mary is ours if we want it. It's ours. So he says, this light is a symbol of those who live in the divine will. And all of their acts, every thought, every word, every deed that you do in the divine will is an act of divine life, of creative divine strength that is the virtue of forming another son, more sons. Nor does it lower itself or want to form little lights, little flickers, but divine suns that are never extinguished. This life that Jesus wants us to enter into is the true life of Jesus and Mary. It's not a saintly life. It's more than a saintly life. It's not just a saintly life. For example, the saints did the will of God. That's volume 1 through volume 10. But to live in the divine will is to live through the power of the Holy Spirit, the second outpouring that's coming. Get ready for this. Get ready for this new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II says is coming. Why? So that we can get to volume 24 to 36 is to receive the divine inheritance of the Father, to go back to where Adam was in the true image and likeness of God. But more than that, it's the image and likeness of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, the perfect human Jesus, the perfect human Mary. Not the fallen. We have been redeemed, but we're still under the thumb of the evil one. That's all coming to an end. That's why this battle that we're in, we've been called by God to live in this time, to fight. And he says, I want you to become a member of the divine will army. He says, and it's not a war of blood. It's a war of love. So this battle that we're in, is the love of Jesus and Mary that's going to consume the world in love. God is saying, I want you to be one with us, Jesus and Mary. As Louisa, I want you to begin to breathe this divine I love you of Jesus and Mary, as Louisa did. I want you to have your heart beat in their hearts beating as Louisa did. This is why he gave us Louisa. She's the firstborn. She's the newborn of the divine will. And our Lord is asking us, pleading with us to get out of the way and let this happen, to die to your ego and your will. Well, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do what I want. God says it doesn't work that way. It's the way Jesus, the new Adam, and Mary, the new Eve, that's their way. And here's the firstborn who has done this. Here's the newborn who has done this. Do you want to learn how to do this? Jesus says, it's very simple. It's very easy. It's diving into this infinite ocean of love that is Jesus and Mary. This infinite ocean of love that it's that drop of water. When you put a drop of water into the ocean, that drop of water becomes the ocean. Everything in the ocean belongs to that drop of water. We're the drop of nothing that the priest puts in the chalice filled with wine. And the priest says, may we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. We are that drop of nothing. And as it enters into the wine, it fuses and diffuses and becomes wine. This is where we are today. And Jesus says, begin to live this life. Begin to possess this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So may the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name under the mantle of Mary through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.